Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be with God's people. And it's good to have the knowledge that Jesus Christ loves us beyond all of our comprehension. It's good to have a book called Daniel that we can study. And in the book of Daniel, we're looking at some topics and all that are found inside of that we feel like that God is speaking to us. And we're captured in chapter 10, dealing with the book of truth. As we're captured in chapter 10, we recognize that the plan of God declares that there's going to be war and great hardship in verse 1. And as we looked at that, we began to say, okay, if it's war and great hardship, how do we get ready for it? We had to study the rules and some of the concepts of deception and leadership, about defining the mission and how to deal with fear, and the value of life. We also recognize that we need to have belief and a trust system that's built in there, with the value of building on the concept that one matters. We understood that we have to execute a mission and got to carry out orders, the orders that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. And then the bottom captured of that is love is what motivates us through that. And if that be the case, and God has said to us that there's going to be war and hardships, and we're dealing with that, then we want to know more about it. And if we want to know more of how God wants to speak to us, then we looked in verse 2 and we understood about prayer and fasting, about how that we pray and fast with a purpose and we humble ourselves before God. We afflict our souls so that they're for a higher power. And we have selected desires in which we've said no to. We have a place, we have people sometimes, and we remove all the outside appearances and we want to live a godly life so much that we would say, God, it's all about You. Then God begins to speak. And when He begins to speak, He speaks with absolute truth. And the absolute truth that we discovered last week is not being taught in the homes for something like 9% of the college kids that was surveyed. Only 9% of them believed in some form of an absolute truth. So therefore, we have missed that point, absolute truth being replaced by personal preferences. But absolute truth has moral principles. It's defined so it's not confusion. It's built on a solid foundation. Absolute truth speaks about God and His unchanging character. Absolute truth is built on historical evidence and not consensual approval. It's very important to remember that. It's built on historical references. God said it. And not on public consensual approval. Because in looking at that, we can characterize four guys that we could say real quickly. Moses lived on absolute principles. Daniel lived with absolute principles. Moses was in Egypt. Daniel was in Babylon. Stephen was in Jerusalem. And Saul, well, he was in Asia Minor. He was there even to Rome and to Greece in that area. But these guys lived with absolute truth. Okay, now, bringing us to that concept, we understand several things. One, hardships, war. We understand prayer and fasting. We understand absolute truth. We understand now, though, that God had something very, very special. And such a struggle today. Because in the first concept that we want to look at is being touched by an angel. Now, when I say touched by an angel, what do y'all say? Channel 312 on Thursday night. Okay, no. Touched by an angel. Have you ever been touched by an angel? Have you ever been influenced by an angel? Have you ever recognized that you, as an individual, being born again, that God has even assigned to you a special warrior? And that you too may have been touched by an angel. In chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10, I'd like to pick it up with verse 10. The Scripture says, suddenly, well, let me back it up. Verse 7, just for reference sake. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them. So they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone. When I saw the great vision, no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned into frailty, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of His words. While I heard the sound of His words, I was in a deep sleep on the ground, with my face to the ground. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on my palms of my hands. And He said to me, O Daniel, greatly beloved, understand the words that I am about to speak. Stand upright, for now I speak to you. And while He was speaking the words, I stood trembling. Then He said, do not be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day you set your heart to understand and to humble yourselves before God, your words were heard, and I've come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Behold, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I'm come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days to come. And when he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly, one like in the likeness of the Son of Man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood with me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me. I have retained no strength. Well, how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me, nor any breath left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you know why I've come? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the Scripture of truth. No one opposed me against these except Michael, your prince. Did you capture that last little bit? That Michael, your prince, your guardian angel. No one. But what did he come? He came there to bring to him the Scripture of truth. And so therefore, when we become touched by an angel, in verse 10, I'm referring back to there, just then he touched me and lifted me up. There's the power of the touch. And when we receive the power of the touch of God, it will lift us up. Many times in the struggle of our faith, we get down. Sometimes we get down so low that we don't even have breath. It's hard to even breathe. It's overcoming us so much, and we cry out, and even our lips may move, but no sound is heard. We become, and then all of a sudden, there's a touch. And when He touches us, He lifts us up. And when He lifts us, He gives us an affirmation. Even like He might just say to you, God loves you. He will affirm you in the faith so that you can rise up. The power behind this message, oh, He will inform me. He told him what was going to happen. And then He's going to teach us out with the message. There's going to be information. And the power of empowerment, He's going to strengthen me, and I stood up. And then there's the power of truth, He's going to equip me. But what does all this mean? Let me touch you in several different areas. Number one, to touch. To touch means to embrace. To touch means to allow somebody to come into your personal territory. To touch says, okay, I am an island, but Jesus, what did He do? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God invaded your space. He sent His angel, touched you, strengthened you. When this happens, the touch. What does a touch mean to you? You know what psychologists are telling us? We read this week, he says, we know that people who have loved ones to touch on a regular basis live longer and happier lives. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you got loved ones that you can reach out there and touch, Not like the woman who and her husband was having a little bit of disagreement, and she picked up a vase and threw it at him. He said, "Why did you do that?" She said, "Because the commercial says, say it with flowers." You know, I'm not talking with that kind of. I am talking about the touch. With a man or woman, the touch. Did you know that rabbits live longer if they're touched? There's two cages of rabbits in this experiment, and they both had cancer, and the rabbits in the top died before the rabbits in the bottom, and the only difference between the two sets of the rabbits was that the rabbits in the bottom were touched. And they would reach out, and those rabbits lived longer. In the NBA, you see these guys 7'5" tall, and they go around and slapping each other on the back and slapping them on the backside, and they're still straight guys, you know? But what are they doing? They're touching. And football, all of a sudden you see these guys running up there, they scored a touchdown. What do? They run up there and hit themselves in the chest. You know? Butt themselves in the head and slap them on the backside. You know? I mean, they do that. And why is that? That is it's the touch. In the NBA, there was a study made that the Cleveland Cavaliers, holders of the best record during this study in the NBA, they were found to touch more than the other teams that were losing. Do you know that dogs respond? Get a dog all upset, and if you reach down there and grab that dog by the collar, around its neck, that dog will calm down. Why? Because that's the way its mother used to grab it and tote it around. Now, I'm not going to try it, but I just told you what they said. Where to grab the dog. Did you know that children respond? What happens when all of a sudden a little fella runs down and hits his finger? What does it do? He runs up there to mama to do what? You got it. Kiss it. Mama said, "No, let me put a band." No, mama kisses that thing. That finger feels better already. All she needed just to... The touch. What kind of shape was Daniel in? Daniel, in verses 8 and 9, Daniel was left alone. He had no strength in him. His vigor was turned to frailty. He retained no strength. He heard sounds of the words, but his face was in a deep sleep. Man, he was down. Then he was touched. The touch means to empower. Empower, and that is to raise the flag of awareness. Listen to what I have to say. Raise the flag of activity. Raise the flag of authorization. In other words, I've been sent to you. What does the Scripture say to us? The Scripture will teach us something very plainly right here. It says, "But as many as received them, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His word, He gave them the power." You have been empowered. Why? By the touch of the Master's hands. And so therefore, when we have been empowered, we need to remember this, that we can reach out and touch. Luke chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Then said he to him who bade him, When thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense thee be made, or recompense be made to thee." And this is in Luke 14, 12 through 14. He says, But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot repent thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now, what does all that mean? And about November the 20th, we're going to have a feast here. And y'all know what that means? Wall-to-wall food. We're going to have it right here where you're sitting. And you know what our natural recourse is to do? This is what's natural. Man, the women will spend a half a day getting all those delicious things together. And then she'll everybody will be in a hurry right there at the very last, and some men. And so all of a sudden, they're rest. And all of a sudden, you grab up there, and you go, and you get your plates, and you say, "Man, I've done everything I'm supposed to do, except one major thing." What did Jesus say do? Jesus said, when you have that Thanksgiving meal, don't call your rich neighbor. Don't call that person that you think is a prospect for the church. Don't call that person who will invite you to their get together. But what did he say do? He said to go out and invite the people who are lame. Man, you know what? I think that's what we ought to do. Wouldn't it be nice to do what Jesus said do? And wouldn't it be nice to say that you would like to have rewards in heaven? And you want to put your riches in heaven? And you want to build it up there? You know you can do that. All you have to do is to go to that neighbor who can't walk because he had a stroke and say, look, we're having an eating down at the church. Would you come go eat with me? And you know what that guy's going to say, I think? Sure I will. What do I have to bring? Nothing. Wait a minute. All of a sudden, something begins to happen right here. We start thinking like Jesus thinks. We start doing like Jesus. And so therefore, you got 4 weeks, roughly 4 weeks, to figure out who you're going to invite. Who are plural, maybe you'll invite. Somebody just got out of jail. Somebody, they don't have a car. Somebody, they're lame. You have to wheel them into a wheelchair. Somebody, you're not asking them to come and be a member of the church. All you're asking them to do is come and eat. God says, I'll bless you for that. And there'll be riches in heaven if you'll go out. And you say, well, I don't know. Listen, this is something you know you can do. You want to send something up in heaven? Go find somebody. Is that hard, Leslie? It's really not hard. A lot of times I talk about stuff that don't make sense. But that makes sense, doesn't it? It's easy. You know them, folks. You know them. Let's go get them. Let's go get them. You have been empowered. And if we have 200 people in here, we're going to have 100 chairs set up. Have the blessing of getting behind that person and say, here, you have this seat. I'm going to serve you. You may not get a bite to eat. I doubt that. But you may not get a bite to eat. But wouldn't that be neat to do what Jesus said to? And so therefore, now we begin to embrace this concept right here. And so therefore, and by the way, you know what? That's what we're going to do at church here. But I dare say some of you folks are going to be gathering around your table at your house. Wouldn't it be nice to invite somebody that's not going to invite you back? Christmas is coming along. Wouldn't it be neat to give something to somebody that you're not even going to know who they are maybe? And give them? You see, because what we understand here is that God's ear is going to be open to us. Look in verse 12, he said, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourselves before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. What was happening with Daniel? Daniel was afraid. Daniel was upset. Daniel saw something. He understood something that took the life out of him. And so when it took the life out of him, he was said to him, don't be afraid. God knows your heart. God sees your humility. God hears your request. God has answered your prayer. Daniel understood. Daniel became humble before God. God heard his prayer on the very first day. 21 days later, he got the answer because God sent an angel for him to understand. He understood that. Two of his disciples were walking with Jesus on the road. It was about the time Jesus was going to be crucified. On the way to the city of Jerusalem, there was a fig tree. Jesus was hungry. I like that. Me and Jesus had something in common. he was hungry, but he went over there to the fig tree and he looked under the leaf and he didn't see any figs. And you know what Jesus did to that fig tree? He cursed it. You imagine Jesus? Jesus cursed it. He didn't cuss it. Okay, there's a difference. He didn't cuss it. He cursed it. He said, no food is going to be upon you. Next day, disciples came along and they walked by and they remembered that Jesus said, no food's going to be on that tree. And they looked at that and they wondered, did Jesus have some, what's that poison called? Yeah, I mean some real, you put it on plants and they kill it. WD, I mean it's not WD. Roundup. Did Jesus put Roundup on that? No, Jesus didn't put Roundup on that. Jesus spoke and the next day that fig tree was withered up. Swiveled up. I mean, it was dead. Oh, Peter said, Lord, how'd you do that? And the Lord Jesus said to him, said, look, Peter, he said, you can tell a tree to go jump in the lake and it'll do it if you pray and believe, but you got to ask believing. You see, what God wants to do, God wants to empower you so that you might be strengthened here, understand. And He said in verse 22, Matthew 21, 22, He said, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You got to pray. You got to be believing. God does some unique stuff. Our Sankey, he was 90 years old. He was out working. He walked outside one day out of his house, fell down, bam, hit his head. The neighbor saw it, came running over there, and they called 911 and they pick up our Sankey. Now, it wasn't 911, but they did call for the ambulance. And they picked up our Sankey, this old man. And he went to the hospital, and as they was rolling him up into the hospital, they opened up the doors, opened up the elevator, and all of a sudden he heard some man cussing a blue streak. And Arasaki said to himself, he said, Lord, don't put me in that room. What did they do? They rolled him right straight into that room where that man was cussing a blue streak. Got him in his bed, settled him down, and then all of a sudden it was quiet just for a moment. And then all of a sudden he heard this man say to Ira, he said, ought not say that, should I? And he said, no, you ought not say that. Man said, I think I quit. Things got quiet. All of a sudden, that man who had been cursing a blue streak said, hey, can you tell me how to be saved? Well, right there, man cussing a blue, just got cussing a blue streak. He turns around and said, can you tell me how to be saved? And Ira Sankey told that man how to be saved. 90-year-old man, in with this man, who now said, tell me how to be saved. The man prayed to receive Christ. Things got quiet. And all of a sudden that man said to Iris, said, you're the best man. You're the best man I've ever known. Oh, I said, no, I'm not the best man. He said to him, don't you dispute me. It got quiet, turned over. A few minutes later, that man was dead. Ira asked the question. He said, why do you suppose I hit my head? Why do you suppose? God's in charge. God's in charge. And as He begins to speak to us, He wants us to understand and reach out. He wants us to understand that there's a battle going on. In verse 13, the Scripture says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I had been a long time there with the kings of Persia. What is he telling us here? To touch means to exhort. Folks, we all need encouragement. We all need encouragement. There's a battle going on. And so therefore, when we understand that there is a battle going on, all of a sudden we see several things. We see to touch means to exhort. We need to be encouraged because there's a spiritual warfare that necessitates angelic activity. Satan was seeking to block the spiritual supply source from Daniel, and he was doing a job for 21 days. But a stronger angel had to come along and help Gabriel. So Michael and Gabriel, they joined forces and they defeated Satan. And while Satan and Gabriel then was fighting, then Michael could go off and deliver the message that God had sent to him to tell Daniel 21 days later. Michael engaged Satan. Listen, folks, we are about to be engaged by Satan himself in the state of Mississippi. Let me establish something with you real quick here. We are in a battle. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness in this world and spiritual wickedness in high places." Listen, folks. There's a battle going on. And this battle is reaching from here all the way to heaven. You remember the book of Job? Job chapter 1. Job chapter 2. It's where the sons of men and Lucifer, Satan, entered into the presence of God. And God the Father said to Satan, "Where have you been?" He said, "I've been going up, down the earth, to and fro, just about whoever I want." And he said, "If you considered my servant Job," what happened? In heaven, the battle was on. Now, the battle continues. Revelation chapter, that was Job 1, 6 and through verse 12. And then in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 2, the Scripture says to us, in verse 7 he says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon is Satan, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He cast him out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice in heaven say, Now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." Folks, the battle was on. That battle is going on. Okay, test time. If you're over 40 years of age, don't answer this question. Next picture, please. Who is this guy? If you know who he is, raise your hand. If you're under 40. Okay, all right. Anybody in here, do you know who this guy is? Raise your hand. You know him? Okay, I got one that knows him. Okay, very good. All right, here comes the next question. Next slide. Who is this guy? If you're don't say nothing. All right, go ahead. If you're under 40, now if you're, everybody, do you know who this is? Okay, Do you notice any similarities between these two guys? Chief Justice Warren Burger, 1973. "If I use the terminology Roe versus Wade, then all of a sudden you will recognize who this person was. This guy, Chief Justice, nominated by Richard Nixon, went to the University of Minnesota, religion, Presbyterian." All of a sudden we recognize this other guy, named Adolf Hitler. Who do you suppose consented to more people's death, the one on the left or the one on the right? The one on the left, the one on the right. Well, let's just see. Let's go to the next slide. As we begin to look at here, Warren G. Burger, because he's not responsible, but he consented to it. He was the leader of the Supreme Court. To date, there's been over 50 million babies killed as a result of the actions that the Supreme Court took in this land. So therefore, yes, I hold this Presbyterian man who served this country for many years, I hold him responsible. And I think God holds him responsible for 50 million. What about the other guy, Adolf Hitler? Holocaust, we find that there were at least 10 million people sent to the concentration camps, literally gassed, steamed, shot down with guns, poisoned, mutilated. 10 million. 6 million Jews. And that means there's a whole lot more, and I just don't have time to break them all out to you. But listen, folks, it wasn't just the Jews. There were 4 million others. If you were handicapped, you died. If you were Jehovah's Witness, you died. If you were Slavic, you died. And you can say, man, that's terrible. But which one of the guys? One who was responsible? Yes, in World War II, it's estimated around 60 million people died as a result of World War II. Next picture. If you took all the children of the world today, that had been killed. And you put them 26 inches apart. In other words, if you put them hand to hand, they would literally surround the world. God knows that. God sees this. Next slide. 50 million voices crying out. January the 22nd, 1973. Seven of our Supreme Court guys consented to death. When they said that life does not begin at conception, then therefore they consented to abortion. They consented to death. Up until this period of time, 39 states said abortion is against the law. But now, what changed? Did God change? Did the law change? What changed? And so now the innocent, they cry out. Two men, Brian White and William Reinhurst, said no, said life. And you ask me, what's going on with our people today? Next slide, please. Warren Berger said, if life begins at conception, you have no case. In fact, let's just take a moment, Larry. Let's just go and let's let them listen to what was said during this period of time. The point, folks, as he's getting us ready for this, is that we have a war going on. We just concluded a war. President Obama said, we are now, the war is over in Iraq. Thank God. 4,400 men died, men and women died. 32,000 were injured. $1.4 trillion were spent. And we say, the war is over. Thank God the war is over. They said it's the longest war that was going on. No. This war is still going.
Number 70, 18, Roe against Wade.
I suppose that one of the important factors that has to be considered in this case is what rights, if any, does the unborn fetus have?
That's correct.
And the basic constitutional question initially is whether or not an unborn fetus is a person.
Yes.
This is critical to this case.
Yes, sir.
If it were established that an unborn fetus is a person within the protection of the 14th Amendment, you would have almost an impossible case.
I would have a very difficult case.
Certainly would.
The Texas Constitution, in your view, declare by statute that a fetus is a person for all constitutional purposes.
The state could obviously adopt that kind of statute, and then the question would have to be adjudicated.
Yeah. Established that an unborn fetus is a person within the protection of the 14th Amendment, you would have almost an impossible case. It's an impossible case. It's an impossible case.
Next slide. If it was established that an unborn fetus was a person, you would have an impossible case. So, Warren G. Berger, consent to kill. Next slide. William O. Douglas, consent to kill. Next slide. William J. Brennan, Jr., consent to kill. Potter Stewart, consent to kill. Brian White, protect the child. Thurgood Marshall, consent to kill. Harry Blackmun, consent to kill. Lewis F. Powell, consent to kill. William Rehnquist, protect the child. You've heard their voice. Now what are we going to do? Are we going to talk about it? Are we going to be vocal? I don't know about you folks. I watched some stuff this morning. Just took my gut out. pictures of babies killed. And I put on one side, here was Adolf Hitler. And I watched and I looked at the pictures of the Holocaust and the death. And I put beside that, I can't show you all these pictures. I just can't do it. I can't do it. And I put beside here the pictures of those people that had been murdered at the hands of doctors. And I said, oh my God. Oh my God. And you wonder why teenage kids goes into a school, Columbine, and opens up on killing other students. 26 different schools. You wonder why? When it starts at the top and we devalue life, Scripture says there'll be no murderers in heaven. Abortion's going to keep a lot of doctors out of heaven. A lot of people are going to go to hell because of that. There's going to be a lot of mothers who are going to go to hell because of that. And you can say, now wait a minute. Does God forgive? Yes. God does forgive. There was a woman that was brought to Jesus caught in the act of adultery. And the Pharisees testing Jesus said, Jesus, what should we do here? Moses said, she ought to be stoned to death, but what do you say? Jesus said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And beginning at the eldest going down, they walked away. And Jesus said to the woman, where are your condemners? And she said, they're gone. There's none here. And He said, neither do I condemn you. Go, but He said, and sin no more. And people get and stand before God. They don't have to look at their hands. They don't have to look at their hands. Mississippi has a chance to say, protect the child. And if we stay silent, like our Supreme Court today is staying silent, we will consent to death. May God loosen our tongues. You have an influence. Use it. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our president calling the end of the battle in Iraq. But Lord, there's another battle that's far larger, bigger, more deadlier that's going on right now. Father, for all believers in the state of Mississippi, God, we need You. And we ask for Your help. I know in the help of Your beloved Daniel, You sent Michael and Gabriel. And God, we are going to need Your angels to do a work. Because we know that this state is going to be under attack. God, help the church. Help those who lift up the name of Jesus Christ and value life to rise up and be touched. May we be empowered. May we be strengthened. May we do what we can do as individuals. For help. Now, God, speak to us. Even in during this time of invitation, Lord, let there be prayers offered up all over this room. Let men and women, boys and girls, be renewed by the work of the Holy Spirit to value life. Life that was created in the image of God. And God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And God is the giver of life. Let no man, let no woman say, it's not up to God, it's up to me. Lord, it's all before you. Now we as your people are praying, oh God, do a work in our state. In Jesus' name. Today, we all need the touch. When Daniel saw something, it knocked him to the ground and he was without strength. He needed the touch. When God reveals to you certain things, you will need his touch. Touch begins with the Lord Jesus Christ who came and made himself real. Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? If not, I encourage you this day to come to Jesus. For those who are fighting the battles, who need forgiveness, maybe in the time past you have had an abortion, then what I would recommend to you is what God's Word says to you. If you will confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Therefore, you need to repent before the Lord Jesus and go and sin no more. God loves you. We love you. God desires you to have perfect fellowship with Him. What is on your heart today? The prayer altars are open. Let's stand together and sing.